Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to brotherlance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
You're with God. You love God. You want to say thank you, praise you. But to God, it means so much to him, right? That we're acknowledging his constant effort in our life. And we're recognizing it's him, right? And it also, because God can give you a year's worth of blessings, but if you only thank God at the end of the year, you're robbing God of that sacrifice of praise, right? So it has to be a daily thing. It has to be a moment-to-moment thing. Now, when anything good comes in or anything tough comes in, we praise him when we thank him for it, right? And that is pleasing to God, right? That recognition, acknowledging of his name. The difference between praise, and this goes with this one, and extreme praise. So extreme praise is when nothing is going right, when you're getting punished for doing the right thing, when you're in the lion's den. That's extreme praise, right? There's easy praise when everything's going right. Extreme praise is when nothing's going right and you're still going, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And so we have to respond in a way that releases the power of God. Right. So our response, our interaction is what releases God's power and spirit, because we're the ambassadors, we're the vessels, the Holy Spirit lives in us, we're the temples. Right. And so how we respond and how we react prevents a move of God or encourages a move of God.
BrotherLance.com.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for protecting us from the strange, crazy weather we have, hot and cold, and all this weirdness going on in the world. Thank you for loving us, being with us, looking out for us, and giving us hope. Please bless us with your Holy Spirit today. Guide us into all truth and help us understand your perfect will and the priesthood of Christians and what we need to be doing and how you would like us to live our lives for you and the services we provide for you in the kingdom of heaven. So we praise you. We thank you for everything. Be with everybody's health and well-being in our group and continue to keep us strong so we can continue to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So there was going to be a part five of The Chosen People. But that became another Bible study that we're going to do at the end of this Bible study. But this all flows because we're talking about the chosen people of God and the priesthood of Christians. And so this one's the priesthood of Christians, part one of a three-part series. And then we'll be going into the next study, which is Jesus, hope, Israel's hope. And so we're going to go look at some prophecies of Jesus and proofs from Scripture that Jesus is the Messiah. So I thought that would be good. And so we will go ahead and start. The Priesthood of Christians, Part 1. This is our key verse for all three of our next studies, or this one and two more. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, so that you might speak of the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You who then were not a people, but now the people of God. Those not pitied then, but now pitied, dearly beloved, I exhort you as temporary residents and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honest among the nations, in that which they speak against you as evildoers. They may glorify God in the day of his visitation, seeing your good works. 1 Peter 2:9-12. So that verse is going to be our jump off point for the next three studies, okay? So let's go. With the great exchange created by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and having replaced the entire religious paradigm with a more sure and pure relationship with God Almighty, in turn creating a new priesthood of Christians to love and serve God, being made up of all people from all over the earth, be it Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, bond or free, it matters not to Yahweh. All those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for their sins as a perfect sinless sacrifice, they are now a priesthood of God. Over the next couple of studies, we're going to dig into how to harness our new positions in Christ. As it stands now, we will, in the forthcoming studies, cover sacrifices, works, and application. Okay, so this is obviously the sacrifice study. Okay, and so let's go moving on. Sacrifices, what we do. You also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5, right? And so That's what we do. We provide, as you know, in the Old Testament, they provided sacrifices of offerings and grain offerings and animal offerings and dove. I mean, let's be honest, the temple looked like a butcher market because there was so much sacrifices going on. And so what we do is ours aren't always physical. Sometimes we sacrifice physical things, but what we're really doing is it's a spiritual thing. So this is a list out of the Bible of those spiritual things. So what are the sacrifices we offer? This is by far not a complete list of spiritual sacrifices as we as true followers of God can offer. This list is meant to help unlock our understanding of what God finds to be important. So as we begin, remember to listen to the Spirit of God to unlock more, right? So this is not the end-all be-all list, okay? This is a jump-off point, right? And so we're going to start off with the first one, sacrifice of your life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is good and pleasing in the perfect will of God. So, what we know that if you take a sacrifice, you put it up on the altar, they prayed over the sacrifice, right? And they transferred all the sins to the sacrifice, and they killed the poor animal, which we don't want to happen to us, of course. But we as living sacrifices, we're always in that state of permanent of suspension of will, right? And so we are before God. Malleable, we can be made, we can be pushed, we can be forced, we can do whatever he wants. And that's the whole point of being a living sacrifice. That means you have divulged your desire, you have given up your wants, you have presented yourself to God to do with me as you will, right? And so that's a really tough place to be. And so it takes a lot of learning and growth. It takes a lot of experience with God that you can trust the process, right? But it's really hard for people when it's best life now, get everything you can from God stuff, you know, because that's not making you a living sacrifice, right? There's benefits from serving the kingdom of God and being that living sacrifice, but that's kind of like eating dessert before you have your meal, right? So we're going to have the meal and then we get the dessert, right? According to God's perfect will. And so as we living sacrifices, we have to go forward with the understanding that it's not our will. It's not my will to be done, your will be done, God, right? And so that's the first one, living sacrifice. This one I like. Number two, top of page two, sacrifice of praise. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, acknowledging his name. Hebrews 13:15. And just in case I didn't mention the last one, Romans 12:1-2. Sometimes I get going and I forget to mention the verses. So that's Hebrews 13:15. And so what we have here is a sacrifice of praise. Now, most of us, like, to me, it's like, like a lot of us in this group, maybe not some people there listen. It's easy for us to say, praise God. It's easiest for us to thank God for things, right? And that's why, like in my house, you know, and on group me and stuff, I try to get everybody to do it. Like if someone says, praise God, it's a call to praise God and we all praise God together, right? It's a sacrifice. Not a big sacrifice, I wouldn't say, because it's really a natural state of being. Like you're with God, you love God, you want to say thank you, praise you. But to God, it means so much to him, right? That we're acknowledging his constant effort in our life and we're recognizing it's him, right? And it also, because God can give you a year's worth of blessings, but if you only thank God at the end of the year, you're robbing God of that sacrifice of praise, right? So it has to be a daily thing. It has to be a moment-to-moment thing. Now, when anything good comes in or anything tough comes in, we praise him when we thank him for, right? And that is pleasing to God, right? That recognition, acknowledging of his name. Okay, sacrifice of thanks. Then the 24 elders. So this is a scene in the book of Revelation, right? And he's showing you what the 24 elders are doing. Right. This is a good, you know, first of all, they're around God. So this is an object lesson for us. These are the people closest to the throne of God, worshiping God. Right. There to give him honor and praise. Right. And what are they doing? Let's find out. Then the 24 elders who are seated on their thrones before God threw themselves down with their faces to the ground and worship God with these words. We give you thanks, Lord God, the all powerful, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and begun the reign. Revelation 11:16-17. Right. And so what are they doing? They got their crowns given to them by God. Right. They're sitting there around God. And what do? They fall down on the ground. They get off their throne and they fall down, they're casting crowns face down. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right. So us mortal beings not around God's heavenly throne, how much more should we be doing this, right? So how much more should we be doing that? So let's read the next verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, right? And so it's the everything that hurts, right? It's the everything that's the tough coin. It's easy to give thanks to God when great things are happening and life is good and there's no problems or no issues. You know, it's when things get rough. And so I read in my devotions this morning about Daniel, and they were talking about the difference between praise, and this goes with this one, and extreme praise. So extreme praise is when nothing is going right, when you're getting punished for doing the right thing, when you're in the lion's den. That's extreme praise, right? There's easy praise when everything's going right. Extreme praise is when nothing's going right and you're still going, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And I have been in situations like that, and there is a difference in the praise. There's actually, it's a weird thing that if you can thank God in the tough times, in the weird, in the hard places, there's something that's released in you. There's something released around you. Like God comes closer because he understands the amount of sacrifice it is to trust him and go, I thank you. I don't understand, but I thank you, you know? And so anybody walks with God long enough, they're going to have moments like these where nothing makes sense, you know? And so all we have to know is God makes sense. We can trust him. Okay. So sacrifices of doing good and sharing. It says, and do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Hebrews 13:16, right? And so what we have here is a need to understand that, like, God, and you guys do this, and, you know, this kind of preaching the choir on this one, but people that are watching and listening on podcasts, okay? And so when we have, and others in the body of Christ do not have, that we have to open up our hearts, right, and share and give and show love. And that's a sacrifice to God. It's a pleasing sacrifice. All right. And so as you notice so far, we're not sacrificing animals, right? We're doing things that affect us. He wants the sacrifice to be internal. He wants it to be within us, expressing outwards towards his creation and to him. And so let's read the next one. But give from your heart to those in need, and then everything will be clean for you. Luke 11:41. I put that one in because of Hebrews. He doesn't say it's a sacrifice, but he gives us a guideline. But give from your heart to those in need. In other words, not grudgingly, right? Which we're about to read here in a minute. I'll just go ahead and read that verse. It says, let each man give according as he has determined in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So what's the key of this giving, right? If you're getting ham-fisted with it, and you're like, oh, here you go, you know, take it from me, you know, God's not pleased with that. You know, it would be better for you to take the amount that you can do willfully, joyfully, and happily. It doesn't mean there's not a growth process or a stretching, but you know it's the right thing. You feel good, and then you give it, you know, and then you're going to get the full benefit of God's joy and your sacrifice, you know. But one time I was at a church, the church will remain nameless. The head conference for Oklahoma, the guy was there. And I'm sitting there eating lunch with him, potluck. And I'm like, so you get to go to all these churches around Oklahoma for the conference. That's really cool. And he looked at me and he goes, Lance, the key word is get to. I'm like, what a horrible attitude. I'm like, do you think God's pleased in that attitude? Do you think you're doing anybody any good with that attitude? I'm thinking, you should have stayed home, you know? And so that's how we have to do. So sacrifice of doing good and sharing, this is pleasing to God, okay? So what we got? We got your life. We got giving God praise, giving thanks, sharing. What's the next one? Sacrifice is supporting the gospel work. Nevertheless, you did well to share with me in my trouble, as you Philippians know. At the beginning of my gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even the Thessalonica, on more than one occasion, you sent something for my need. I did not say that this because I am seeking a gift. Rather, I seek the credit that bounds to your account, for I have received everything, and I have plenty. I have all I need because I received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, very pleasing to God. And my God will supply your every need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. May glory be given to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. Right? And so what happens? It's so weird. Paul, the man of God, you know, I did a study once on his money troubles, you know, like nobody wanted to give to Paul, and everybody thought he was, you know, some kind of cheat or working some scam. And so very few groups you know, did what was needed to be done to help support the ministry, right? And here we have, it says, I have received your sacrifice, and very pleasing to God. And so when we give the ministry, like you guys do, obviously, and the people watching, they give the ministries that they give to, you know, this is pleasing to God. This is using the funds that God has given us as a tool of sacrifice, right? And that helps the gospel go forth. And so what's awesome about being able to give like that and give to ministries like Voice of the Martyrs and stuff like that is someone gave somewhere down the line to help me, right? And so you guys too, right? So someone was giving offerings and donations when you came to Christ by people that you never knew or probably will ever know. Right. And same thing here. People that download this podcast, watch this videos, they don't know all the people in the background donating to this ministry to make it possible for them. But all that God wants to do is that one day they do that for some other ministry. And, you know, and it just becomes this unbroken chain of helping the gospel go forth. Right. OK, next one. Sacrifice of mercy. But if you had known that. But if you had known what is this is, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned those who are not guilty. Matthew 12:7, right? And so what is saying God? God put up the sacrificial system or allowed Moses to do it for the idea that if they got so bad, they had a way out of their sin, right? It wasn't supposed to be this, like, every time you mess up. God preferred mercy. What did God do to Adam and Eve after they sinned in the garden? He showed mercy. He didn't make them come to him. He went to them. He talked to them about what was going on. He told them what the future was going to be. He gave them some prophecies about the Messiah they probably didn't understand at the moment, right? And then he gave them the covering for their things. And he didn't, like, lightning bolt them. He just told them, listen, guys, you're going to have to leave now. And life's just changed for you because you disobeyed me. But he still talked with them. He was still with them. And their progeny he was still with, right? And so this is the God we serve. He desires the mercy. He doesn't want to have to hammer you every time you sin. And back then he didn't want you to have to run off to go kill something every time you messed up, right? He wanted, and that's why we studied this and we studied it last week, that like David knew this, you know, he said you didn't ask for these sacrifices, you know, and that obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And so that's what we have to remember. Okay, sacrifice of love. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Ephesians 5:1-2, right? So we are called to be followers of God as dear children, and what is the predicate here? What is the, like, the point? And walk in love, right? And I didn't put it on here, but there's another one. Yeah, I did. Surprised myself. There it is. Let's read the next one. I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. You should be should also love one another. By this, all shall know that you are my disciples if you have love towards one another. John 13:34-35. So again, what is the, like, the crux? How does the world separate us from them? Right? It's because we love each other. It's how we treat each other. It's the things we do for one another, how we look out for each other, sacrifice for one another, right? Have each other's backs in time of need, you know, and support each other emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Next one. But the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience, faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 1:5, right? So this is the whole point. Next one. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And so read all of Corinthians. It's a great chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, right? So what's the point of this? It's the love that God wants. It's the outward expression of care. So how do we care and love for one another by if we don't put other people before ourselves? It's impossible, all right? And so true love is sacrificial. True love puts the needs and well-beings of our own in front of, you know, put other people's needs in front of our own and do what is pleasing in God's sight, right? And God will reward that. And so anybody who's married, you learn to do that. You put your spouse's needs before your own, right? If you have children, you put your children's needs before your own, right? And then the body of Christ, the body is supposed to put everybody else's well-being and needs before their own when called to. Doesn't mean you're doing it all the time because you have stuff you have to do. But the point is that if it came down to a choice between doing for yourself or doing for others, it is a sacrifice and worthy of praise if you do for others before you do for yourself, right? And so, and this is pleasing to God. But see, here's the thing, guys. when we do this kind of stuff, we never come up empty-handed. God will always reward. God will always repay. We can never outdo God, right? It doesn't mean it's happening at the moment, but you're making an investment into your own account. So at future withdrawals, it'll be there for you, right? That when you need the help, when you need the sacrifice, when you need to step in, have someone step in for you, that's going to be there, right? But it's like they did a study with millionaires. Who remains a millionaire? Because a lot of people become millionaires and they lose it quickly, right? And so what happens is they found that people who are millionaires, the ones that stay millionaires are those who give money to charitable organizations. And if those who do not give money to charitable organizations undoubtedly stop becoming millionaires, right? Because they're being ruled by greed, right? And it's self-destructive. You never have enough. So if we learn to share, this is pleasing to God. So what we want to do is just remember, you know, to love, right? Here's the next one. Love your fellow man. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you, right? So the first one was believers. This is fellow man. For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive back as much. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing back, and your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind towards the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, even as your Father is also merciful. Luke 6:32-36, right? So the first one was like, body of Christ, prefer to body of Christ, love each other. Next one is your fellow man, people that don't deserve it, your neighbor, the people down the street, the guy you give a ride because his car broke down, the people that you'll never get anything back from, right? That there's no hope of return. Like, you're not secretly hoping that if I do this, I get that. There's literally no return. Like, besides have a good day, you did a good deed, right? And so that's what God wants us to do, because one, we're setting a good example of how the world should treat each other, but we're also showing them how a follower of Jesus Christ acts, how a believer in Yahweh conducts themselves, right? And so that's what we always have to put forward, is that, like, listen, guys, this is how Christians do it, right? This is how the world does it, and this is how a Christian does it, right? And so, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, they're so blended now. There's not like this huge gap between Christianity and the world, right? It's sad. I think I've told you guys the story once about how I was friends with a guy working out, and he was sweeping the floors there. And then I was talking about God and Jesus. Well, another guy who I gave a gospel tract just previously came up, and they were been friends for 7 years. And he goes, "You're a Christian?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm a Christian." They've been friends for 7 years and never knew the other one believed in Jesus. That is sad, you know? And so we don't want to be that way. We want people to know, hey, we're Christians. We believe in God, right? Okay, so next one. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you only greet your friends, what more do you do than others? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:43-48. Okay, so what does this mean? Before anybody gets weirded out about this verse, okay? Because, like, there's a group of Christians out there that believe that you should never, ever resist an evil person because it's unloving. That's wrong. You know, I'm duty bound to take care of my wife and kids. If someone breaks in my house, I'm not going to sit there and let them ravage my wife and kidnap my kids. Right? This is not what this is saying, right? So there, just like Jesus told him to take a sword, you're going to need it, right? And Paul talks about fighting off bandits and stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about within your sphere of influence, there's people at work that don't like you, that try to, you know, do evil, mean things. Be nice to them. Love them, regardless of what they're doing, right? But we're not talking, you know, some guys coming to steal your stuff and take out your parents. You know, you got to have common sense, right? And Jesus understood this, right? But, you know, some Christians just go too far. So back to the point, though, that we may can't be the children of the Father who is heaven, right? So we should love those. Set that example, right? And do those things that, to the person that's lying about us at work, getting us involved in the stuff that we don't want to be involved in, associating our name, lying about us behind his back, taking credit for what we're doing, right? Cutting us off in the parking lot when we're trying to find a parking spot. You know, this kind of stuff, right? You know, cutting us off on the highway. We should love those people. Because here's the thing. There's a spiritual minutia going on around you that you don't really recognize that it's happening. So this person does something to trigger you. How you respond will affect what spiritual power is released around you. Right? And so that's why it says, bless and curse not, and forgive those who persecute you. Love those. Because that is the antidote to stopping that that spiritual movement towards you. And so if you get angry and you start acting like them, then 1 + 1 = 2, and you're in a bad, worse environment than you possibly could be in. Right? And so what you have to do is, your power is greater in Christ Jesus. Your power of love, forgiveness, and looking past and covering up a matter is more powerful. So I have dealt with things in my past where I've just kept my mouth shut, right? If I had to defend myself before HR, I would. But other than that, I wouldn't go around behind people's back and say bad things about them, even though they were doing it to me. If they're taking credit, I'd let them take the credit, right? Because in the world, we're talking about dog eat dog, everybody fight everybody, you know, get what you can while you can. But that's not God's paradigm, right? Because he's more worried about what that does to you as a person, to that living sacrifice, right? If you become like the world and you get so engrossed into the world that you there's no difference between you and it, what kind of sacrifice is that? It's not a good one, right? So we need to get right. And so let's see. Love your God. So we had your fellow believer. We had love your fellow man and love your God. Here we go. I rejoice greatly that I found your children walking in truth as we have received command from the Father. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, as you've heard from the very beginning, that you should walk in it. 2 John 1:4-6, right? And so we are called to love one another, right? And this is how we love God, right? Walking as children, we turn around and we love God. And so I think what I needed to do is add one more verse there. Boo-boo. But anyways, same point. We please God when we act like God. Does that make sense? So we can please God when we act like God. When we're not acting like God, then it's not pleasing to God, right? Because the whole goal here is to be him, like him, to emulate him. Just like my kids look up at me, you know, and I do something, and then they're doing it too. I had to work on my refrigerator and clean out the yucky trap, all the stuff underneath, right? My son, Javen, came running over the refrigerator, grabbed the refrigerator, trying to pull out, and he goes, clean the refrigerator, you know? And so that's the same thing. That's what God wants. And so how do we learn this, right? I feel like I have to explain this because I don't want to just brush past this. We learn as faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? So in order to understand God, in order to know how he acts, in order to know how to do the things he does, we have to read his word, right? We have to be in the Bible. We have to digest daily the scripture, right? And so through devotions, through Bible readings, whatever it is, but we have to do it. So if we want to love God more, we have to understand him more. If we understand him more, we can be more like him in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And so I'm going to say, well, you behold, you become, right? So we want to behold God. We want to become like him and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay. Sacrifice of self-denial. You have heard that it was wise, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist him who is evil. But whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone sues you to take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, and don't turn away him who desires to borrow from you. Matthew 5:38-42, right? Again, this is this is not like some guy is coming to rob your house, okay? This is just like natural everyday environment stuff, right? And so we have to understand that our weapons of warfare aren't carnal, right? We're going to be talking about that next couple weeks. And so we have to respond in a way that releases the power of God, right? So our response, our interaction is what releases God's power and spirit, because we're the ambassadors, we're the vessels, the Holy Spirit lives in us, we're the temples, right? And so how we respond and how we react prevents a move of God or encourages a move of God. right? And so we want to encourage the move of God. So what we do matters. How we respond, our word choices, how we look at people, how we look at the situation. Do we get greatly offended, right? Do we realize that it's not really an attack on us? It's an attack on the God in us, right? Does that help us understand not to have our feelings hurt so badly? You know, and it's not wrong to have your feelings hurt, but if you get some perspective that what's really going on here is a battle of good versus evil, I'm caught in the middle of it, and what I do out here on the battlefield matters, right? And so we want to respond in a way that gives God glory, okay? Let's next one, sacrifice of self-denial, right? So yeah, we just read that one. Sorry about that. And so we're going to go on to the daily priesthood. But let me recap real quick. This here, so we got sacrifices. So we have the sacrifice of your life, right? Divulging of your will, giving up what you want in life in exchange for what God wants, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You just got to be patient, right? The sacrifice of praise, that recognition of that God did this, right? God is in here. All these things that are good in my life, everything I love and enjoy, it comes from God. A sacrifice of thanks. So not just like, you know, praise God, but like thank you, honest, heartfelt, you know, appreciation towards God, right? And what did it do to the 24 elders? They jumped off their thrones, right? So what does that say to us? Get off your high horse, right? Give God some praise, you know? Okay, sacrifice of doing good and sharing, right? So we have to, God blesses us so we can bless others so we can be a chain, right? We don't want to be the one that breaks the chain. We want to just keep pushing it down the line, right? Sacrifice of supporting the gospel work. Someone gave for you to receive the gospel, and someone gave so I can. And now people are giving so other people can give. But we don't ever want that to end. We want to just keep, again, pushing it down the line. That's a sacrifice. Sacrifice of mercy, right? To not demand justice. Not to require we get our ways or get our nethers and get our way recognized, right? Just look past an offense to be willing to say, you know, it's okay. You know, I forgive you, right? Even if they don't ask for forgiveness. And, of course, the sacrifice of love, preferring people, right? Hoping all things, enduring all things, suffering all things. And just putting other people before yourself. Okay? And so we have love your fellow man. Right? And so that's people that don't want to return your love, that don't want to come back to you, don't want to be nice, that you will do a good thing and they'll take it as an offense. And we've all been there, right? But you do it anyways because you're doing it to love God, right? And to love God, right? And to keep His commandments. And this is how we know we love Him, by keeping His commandments and loving one another, okay? And then the sacrifice of self-denial. And so that's kind of underpins all of them, because once we learn to stop exalting ourselves and what we want and slowing our roll and like exalting God and putting Him first, and then that's when good stuff happens. Okay, so here we are at daily priesthood. The daily priesthood, right? Let me get a drink of water. So what's the daily priesthood, right? So now we learn what the sacrifices are. What's the daily priesthood? These are things the Bible actually requires us or tells us that we should be doing every single day, right? And so if we do these things, then we, like most people, like there's two people. It's like you can go to extremes. You can be no work and then all works, right? And Christianity's in the middle. We work because we love. We're not working to earn, okay? So once we understand that we're working to show our love, we're not working to try to earn, right, then we can handle what we're about to read, okay? And we're going to talk about that more in the next couple weeks. Okay, let me read. As a servant priest of God, we minister daily for His glory. Central to the theme is how we go about our everyday life. We do not live reactionary lifestyles, responding to every whim and terror the world throws at us. We have meaning and purpose for our days upon this earth. As we seek the kingdom of God first every day, this list will help us understand what it means to be a servant priest seeking God. Again, this is not a complete list, just an introduction of the daily office of a servant and child of God. Okay? So, purpose. Here we go. Search for Him daily. The bottom of page 4. Purpose. Search for Him daily. Seek the Lord's favor. All you humble people of the land who have obeyed His voice and commands, strive to do what is right. Strive to be humble. Maybe you will be protected on the day of the Lord's angry judgment. Zephaniah 2:3, right? So we need to be searching for Him, obeying Him, strive to doing what is right, seeking out His will. Be humble before Him, right? Next one. Seek the Lord while He makes Himself available. Call to Him when He is nearby. Isaiah 55:6. So what's the idea behind this? this. This is, don't take God for granted, right? Don't let your relationship, a lot of marriages get stale. Friendships get stale because they just take each other for granted. They just assume that they're always going to be there. We should not take our, quote, spiritual marriage to God for granted. That, like, he's always going to be there. We'll always be here, right? And then nothing will ever change, right? It's an investment. You have to work at it. So we seek God every single day. You know, we humble ourselves and we strive to be with him. Next one. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his accomplishments among the nations. Sing to him. Make music to him. Tell about all of his miraculous deeds. Boast about his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in the strength he gives. Seek his presence continually. Recall the miraculous deeds he performed, his mighty acts and the judgments he decreed. Psalms 105, 1 through 5. Right? So I love this. It's like a power pack, like how to, you know. It's like, you want to seek God? Well, let's go. I'm going to go through it one more time, right? Make known his accomplishments among the nations. That means give the gospel. Sing praises to him. Make music to him. Tell about his miraculous deeds. If God did something good for you 10 years ago, tell somebody today. Right? You know, and if he did it today, tell somebody. Don't let it for, you know, you guys come to my house. I have dates written on my wall so I don't forget, so I can tell people. Boast about his holy name. I love that. My God is so good. That's a boast, you know? And so that's what we need to be doing. My God is so good. He's way better than such and such God. Amen. He's better than that than such and such God. Amen. Because he is, right? That's a boast. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. In other words, be happy, right? I mean, just sitting here boasting a little bit, I'm getting happy. I'm getting moved. I'm like, praise God, you know? Give me something to throw. So, you know, and so that's what God wants. Let us rejoice. Seek the Lord and the strength he gives, right? I love that one. We need strength. We need confidence, and we get it from our God, right? Seek his presence continually. In other words, all your actions should be guided by, does this please God? Is this God's will? Am I doing my best? So like at my job, I've always been a hard worker, right? And everybody called me a perfectionist, and I got accused by other employees that I was trying to make them look bad. That wasn't the point. The point was is that, like, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say to be a slacker for God. Right. But you can find in the Bible, it says, you know, work hard in the Proverbs. Right. Do what is pleasing. Do it with all your might. Right. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Right. It doesn't say be a lazy sluggard, you know. And so that's why we work hard. That's why we try hard. That's why in this ministry I work so hard, you know, and just try to get this stuff out and together. And I spend more time on making stuff as perfect as possible, more than most people would think I need to. But here's the thing. Who am I doing it for? Am I doing it for God? Then I need to put in the effort. It's God, right? I'm not going to go to God and give him, like, here's my half-hearted effort, Lord. You know, and people are like, well, Lance, only, you know, 40 or 50 people will download this. Okay. So, you know, God is still God. He's still there. He's still doing his thing. I need to be doing my thing. And he's noticing my efforts, right? And so if you're faithful in little, God will help you be faithful in much, right? Okay, top of page 5. Truth. Search the scriptures daily. Now, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, every day, to see whether these things were so. Acts 17:11. So they did it periodically? Did they do it once a week? Did they do it like at once at camp meeting or at once every Christmas and Easter? No, it was a daily thing. We have to be in the Word of God every single day, right? And so we want more strength, more connection, more faith. You have to spend time with God in his Word. It's that simple. All right, seek wisdom daily. Hear instruction and be wise. Don't refuse it. Blessed is the man who hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For whoever finds me finds life and will obtain favor from Yahweh. Wow. So being wise will get you God's favor. Think about that. That means you can influence God's interaction in your life by seeking wisdom. I'll continue. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. Proverbs 8:33-36. So that's the wisdom Proverbs, okay? If you go back and read all of 8. But so I put this excerpt. So what does that mean? Do you guys know, you know, it's like, you want to extend your life? What's the Bible say? Honor your mother and father so your life may be long upon the earth. So you can influence how long you get to live by how you obey and honor your parents. You can get God's favor by how you seek out wisdom and knowledge and understanding, right? Boom. How awesome is that? So receive those God sends to teach you his ways daily. Since that the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Jeremiah 7:25. So in Jeremiah, they weren't receiving them. That was the point. But the point that God was sending them anyways, right? And so, like, God sends us people to help us understand. And sometimes, you know, it's weird. We learn wonderful lessons from people who don't know God so well. And sometimes we learn wonderful lessons from people who do know God so well. Sometimes we can learn a lesson from God from an unbeliever. Right? It's all, are we paying attention? Are our eyes open? Are we looking at the situations and not just blasting through life trying to knock down the next domino in front of us? Right? That we're paying attention, that like we're noticing those around us and the interactions and how we are with people, you know? And so we have to be aware that God will teach us continually if we're willing to understand and be taught. Right. And contemplate situations and outcomes, you know, and that way we get wisdom and then we get the favor and yay, that's a good thing. OK, encourage and provoke each other to good works daily. You must encourage one another each day. Hey, guys, I encourage you. And you must keep on while there is still a time that can be called today. If you don't, then sin may fool some of you and make you stubborn. Hebrews 3:13. Right? So we're called to encourage each other. That's one thing about Group Me. The whole point behind of starting it in the first part was to encourage one another. To let people know that there's people out there like us who love God like us that want to encourage each other. Right? And so that's the whole point. You know, so when anybody's feeling lonely or alone, or something's going on at work and they need a place to turn to, or that they just need to see some friendly people talking, you know, then they can pick up Group Me and then see prayer requests and Bible discussions and updates and stuff like that. You know, it creates community. And so that's what we have to do. And that's why this type of stuff, us meeting today, is so important, right? The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? So we have to do this. We have to lift one another up. Because let's be honest, guys, I don't always have my best days. You guys don't always have your best days. We all have ups and downs. We all need encouragement. We all need to be picked up, right? And so we all need to move forward in that. Okay, so let's go. Pour out self. Okay. Deny yourself daily. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. Luke 9:23-24, right? So what does it mean to pick up a cross, right? I talked about this in my book. They understood that a cross represented execution. For us, it'd be like sit in the electric chair daily. Stand in front of the firing squad daily. Get the lethal injection daily, right? That's what he's saying. Right. So it's poetic, but that's what the intent of the saying was. So when we say, like, you know, let me reread it. He must deny himself and put the noose around his neck daily and follow me. Right. That's what he's saying. So we have to read it in a way that we can understand it. So every day we're willing to die. We're willing to do what it takes. We're willing to go the extra mile. We're willing to be a true believer. Right. And so we're willing to, like, say, okay, God, I am yours. Do with me as you will. Where do I go today? What do you want me to do? Right? But with that mindset, we have gained our life. But if we refuse that, what did Jesus say? He said, if whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Believe me, I've done some crazy things for the Lord, praise God, with this verse in mind that I didn't want to do. That, like, I was like, oh, this is going to get some feedback, you know, and such and such is not going to be happy, you know. But I'm like, you know, I remind myself that the righteous are as bold as lions, you know, and then we move forward, you know, and build ourselves up and go after it. Okay. All right. Die to your will and self daily. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:24-25. Right? And so, what are we saying? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We just talked about that. What that means? It means done, gone. You're slaying it. Your spirit man is rising up in you in the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that thing that is fighting against God's will. Right? And that's what we have to do. Okay, top of page 6. Unity. Share the gospel daily. So he was addressing the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles in the synagogue and in the marketplace every day, those who happened to be there. Acts 17:17. Next one. And every day, both in the temple and the courts, from house to house, that they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Christ. Acts 5:42. Right? And so we all have different parts in the body of Christ. Like, my gifts aren't your gifts aren't my gifts, right? I have a it's like the movie, you know, I have a unique skill set, you know, where he goes after his daughter, and, you know, all of us have that unique skill set and particular traits and powers, you know, in the body of Christ. And so how I share the gospel isn't exactly how you share the gospel, but we're all called to work for the gospel, right? And so as long as we can all focus on that and do our part at whatever that is that God has called us to do, then we're going to bring happiness to God. But it's a daily thing. Okay. Connection. Pray always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, right? And so rejoice always and pray without ceasing. This one's a weird one. It's like, okay, when you start prayer, do you not stop? Is it every day, all day prayer that you never end, you know? And so however you want to dice that one, this is what I think. That means your heart is always open to God, that you're always in communion with him. It doesn't mean you don't have other thoughts or you're at work and trying to get accomplished stuff, but it was with the idea that you're not doing it alone. You're with God, right? You're in that moment, right? And he is in it with you. And so it's not like, you can think of your prayer life as two different things. You can think of that, like, when you pray, God is on the other side of the world. And then when you pray, you pick up the phone and you talk to him, right? Or your walk in prayer life with God is always in the room with you. And that whenever you talk, it's just a continuation of this discussion, right? And that he's with you. And that's the way I think of prayer. So when I think of prayer without ceasing, no man can pray continuously. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. You'll fall asleep eventually or think, oh, my knee hurts one time and you're done, right? And so it's a lifestyle that, listen, I walk every moment with God. God is with me. I am with him. We're always in the same room together, spiritually speaking, right? And so he's not so far away that I have to pick up the toll-free line to heaven. And then he gets a ring, ding, 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 you know, and there he is. No, he's always right there. He's with me. He's got his arm around me. I got my arm around him. You know, we're doing life together, okay? And that's what we have to think of it as. Praise God every day. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all his servants and all who fear him, both small and great. Revelation 19:5, right? So we get praises. Next one. Then I will sing praises to your name continually as I fulfill my vows day after day. Psalm 61:8. Right. The last one is Revelation 19:5. And so what is that, guys? We have to be praising God, right? God, the Bible says God inhabits our prayer, our praise, right? You know, and so we want to know the devil to know. And then, you know, Angel brought this up about how she was having a rough time and that it was worship and praise that helped break that bad time, right? That bring in that joy. And I'm the same way. Sometimes I can get in a funk, you know, and I just don't feel it. You know, but if I put on some praise and worship music, it might be 10 minutes, it might be 10 hours, but eventually it'll break, you know? And so we have to always remember that that is an awesome weapon, right? All right, survival. Cry out to him for his mercy daily. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I cry out to you all day long. Psalms 86:3, right? So mercy, mercy, mercy. Forgive my failings and my struggles and the things that are hard for me to do. Forgive the times I fail you or I have random thoughts that go too far. Forgive the things, the emotions I feel towards people sometimes. Forgive me for all these things. That's God, that's asking for mercy, right? And so God knows that we can't be perfect, right? The goal is to get better. The goal is to do better and to stop doing things we used to do. But perfection on this side of heaven just isn't going to happen, right? And so we can, because here's the problem. You can go 99.9% of your year and never mess up. But that one time you mess up, then perfection's gone, right? So if I paint a picture and I'm like, oh, look at this pretty picture. And everybody's like, perfect. And I take a razor blade and I just go, tit, one little dash. It's not perfect anymore, right? It's impossible. And so Jesus was perfect. Praise God, he did it, but I can't. You know, but the goal is this. That's where mercy comes from. Seek his mercy. Have that mercy and grace cover over your failings. God wants to do it. He doesn't want to beat you with a hammer, you know, and he wants to help you get through your day and not wallow in the suffering and the guilt and the shame. He wants that broken. He knows you can't become who you are in Christ if you're wallowing in guilt and shame. He wants that gone, right? So let it be gone. Endure daily. You therefore must endure hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. No soldier on duty entangles himself in the affairs of life that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he isn't crowned unless he is competed by the rules. 2 Timothy 2:3-5, right? So, therefore, you must endure hardship, right? That means things aren't always going to be easy. The promise to Jesus was like, listen, you guys are going to have tribulation. That was the promise. Jesus, nowhere in the Bible, I'll give you $1 million if I had it. Tell me the Bible verse says everything will always go right. You know, it just doesn't exist. Right. And so we are guaranteed tribulations here. We are guaranteed to endure hardships. Right. But the point is, it's worth it. We'll get repaid. We're not doing it alone. It's for a good purpose. You guys ever suffer for like a pointless reason? Like there's no benefit to this. Why is this even happening? You know, and like I'll confess on myself. OK, I'm going to confess here. One time I was sitting in California and some guy needed to jump from his car. So me and Melissa were sitting out there in our little Volkswagen Rabbit. It's like, you know, this is like an old beater. And he's like, can I have a jump? I'm like, okay, I'll jump you, you know. And he's like, okay, I'm going to have to go in the store and get something first. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting, and I swear, it's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm looking at Melissa, and I'm like, nah, I'm leaving. So I'm like, I'm done waiting. I repented. So I'm like, forget this. I'm tired of waiting. Because it's like this guy had no urgency in his life. You know, he was just in there like window shopping the grocery stores. I don't know. But I could see him because it was like a gas station, you know. And so I'm like, forget it. So I turn on the gas. I whip into the gear. So I'm driving off. This guy comes running out like waving me down. I just left him. I was like, hold on. Badlands, you know. But so in that situation, right, the hardship was had a benefit. The benefit was I was able to help another fellow human being who needed his car jumped so he could get home, right? I was just being a selfish jerk, you know, that's what it amounted to. And I got tired of being there, you know. And so I don't do that anymore. I learned. But at the same time, we have to understand that suffering for Christ has purpose. It has meaning. There's an investment, right? Every sacrifice made to the kingdom of God has a return. Turn, right? So we'll never give more than we can give him. Okay. Expectation. As they went through the towns, they passed on the decrees that had been decided on by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem from the Gentile believers to obey. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number every day. Acts 16:4-5. That's our expectation. If we can fulfill our office, we start offering the sacrifices that are pleasing God. We start doing those things that bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven, which we're going to talk about more in the next two ones, right? It's kind of a jump off point for us. But if we start doing these things, emulating God, this is something God can get involved in and will produce fruit from, right? And so as priests, every one of us have a priesthood, right? We're all called to represent the body of Christ in the kingdom of heaven, right? And so we need to start doing these things and magnifying them if we are doing them and really double down on them, you know, and just dedicating our lives to the kingdom of God in a way as a priest would. Because, you know, Levitical priesthood, they didn't have land. Their land was the temple, right? And then they have shifts and duties all focused around serving God and pleasing God and facilitating his work upon the earth. Well, that's the call of every Christian believer. Imagine for yourself for a second. They say there's billions of Christians out there, right? Well, we'll debate that. But imagine all if that's true. Imagine you had a billion or 2 billion Christians. Do they say 1 billion Christians, 1 billion Catholics? Let's just say they're all Christians. 2 billion, right? There's 7, almost 8 billion people on the face of the planet. Imagine if every Christian in the entire world decided to take a vacation 1 week, and all they did for that 1 week is proselytize. They went out to spread the gospel. 2 billion people reaching 5 billion people. Let's do the math. That one person would have to go reach 3 people. That's it. Gospel work done. Imagine that. Not going to happen because most Christians are backslidden and, you know, they're asleep. But imagine if it did happen. Imagine if the body of Christ woke up to the mighty giant it can be and go out and spread some gospel. You know, So there's you know, you need two or three people. I could go find two or three people right now. I mean, just go to Walmart, go to get some gas. You'll find two or three people like that. Gospel commission complete. Not happening because Christians aren't dedicated. So what do we need? We need dedication. We need to commit our lives. We need to be that light. We need to take the persecution. We need to be the nail that sticks out. We need to be the squeaky wheel. We need the one that gets the attention that nobody wants. We need to be the one that takes the hit. We have to go out there and go, listen, this is for God. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus like cower and hide, not tell the truth and never offended anybody and was everybody's best friend? We learned about that a couple weeks ago. He threw the hammer down on the Jews, right? Forgave a lot of the Jews, but he threw the hammer down, okay? So, as we close, let's recap. We're still called to make sacrifices for our God. We still minister before him every day. We have a daily calling upon our lives. Beyond that, we are an entry-level bridge for the lost world and encouragement to the faithful. We hold a high office in the courts of heaven. We must declare the salvation of our Lord. Many Christians are asleep on the job and fail to perform their God-given function. It must never be so for us. Salvation is the starting line. It is not the finish line. I'm going to read that again. Salvation is the starting line. It is not the finish line. Okay? We are saved by faith in Jesus. Now we are called to fulfill our calling. This will be the topic of our next Bible study, works and what is required of us. Okay? So, anybody have any questions? If you want to unmute yourself and see if the echo is still there. Anybody? Angel. Angel, do you have anything? Yeah, do you want, you guys can unmute if you want to. I just didn't know if you had any questions.
No, I was just underlining some of the things that you were saying.
Okay.
This is probably one of the hardest things to do is, I like how you laid out everything, what you need to do almost every day, not almost, what you need to do every day.
You're right.
Share the gospel, stay in unity, pray always, praise God every day, cry out to him for mercy, love your God, you know, endure daily.
Right.
I mean, I just need to keep this in front of me about 24/7.
Daily.
Right
there. Right. Well, that's the benefit is like with lists like this, it makes it easy. It's something you can refer back to. You can make it part of your morning devotions to help refocus, you know, and to just kind of, you know, it's awesome. It's like, you know, if I said, Angel, what can I do for you to show you that I love you? You could come up with something, right? Like Lance, this would really show me some love. Okay, so God has done that. God was like, you want to love me? You want to know how to make my heart pump and, you know, melt like butter? You know, this is what I want you to do. Love one another. Recognize that I'm in your life, that I do things for you. Ask for my help and sufficiency. Look for my mercy, right? Do what is pleasing and tell other people about me, right? And so that's, I mean, it's pretty simple. And so a lot of people get overwhelmed. They're like, oh, that's just so much. I was like, no, not really. Because if God is your sole focus, then it's nothing because that's what you want to do. It's like me. I like golf. I like reading books about golf. Golf tells me how to hold a club, how to get my body position. I mean, the rules of golf are like a bazillion. It's way more than the rules of the Bible, you know. But I still read it because I love it, you know. And so same with like hunting or shooting guns. I read stuff on that. I read all kinds of books on how to do things, right? So why is it any different with God? It's just like this weird demonic thing where people – like God puts like, well, that's just too much work. I'm like, well, didn't you go to 4 years of college to get a degree to get a nice job? You don't want to spend 4 years looking at God? I mean, your salvation? So it's a demonic thing that puts the pressure like, oh, that's just so much to consume. And so, no, it's not. Not if you realize that once it's consumed, it's in you. It becomes easier. It becomes your lifestyle, you know, and that it becomes a natural part of who you are. It's just like praising God. I have praised God so much. Now it's just a natural thing that comes out of my mouth. Praise God, you know, because it's who I am. It's built into me, you know. And so it's weird when you're around Christians and you say praise God and everybody looks at you like you're a weirdo. I'm like, I thought we all loved him, you know. What are we doing? You know, don't you love God? I love God. Come on. So anyways, anybody else? Questions, thoughts? Adam, Joanna, anything?
Well, just on the talk where you were at earlier, where, you know, whenever, even on our bad days and our bad times, you know, just giving praise to God. I was reading something the other day, and it said, even a seed to grow has to break.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that's just...
You're muted, Angel.
Everything, you know.
Right.
For even a plant or flower to come from a seed, it has to break to become flourished.
Right. You know, that's what Jesus said, you know, that, like, you know, grain, if it doesn't fall to the ground, won't produce, you know. That basically, once the grain is crushed, killed, died, and it'll produce more. You know, and that's the thing, you know. It's an evil, dirty trick of the devil, you know, to teach Christians that bad things never happen, that rough days never come, that we'll not always feel on cloud nine with God, that we don't have ups and downs, that sometimes God feels close and sometimes he feels away. You know, and Christians are taught a lie, you know. And so we have to realize that a relationship with God is like any other relationship, and it has its highs, its peaks and valleys, and it has everything, you know. But the thing is he's more powerful than we are, and he doesn't give up, you know, and he'll keep coming after us if we're willing to respond, you know. And so I know I've had tough times. I know I've, you know, stayed in my bed, you know, not wanting to be awake, you know, and just rather would sleep for the rest of my eternity, you know, and then you get over it and you move on in life, you know. And so, but God is faithful and God sees us through. And so my thing is just don't give up on God no matter how bad it gets, because there's really no other hope, you know, is but God. So anybody else? Nope. Okay. Well, you guys ready to pray? Yeah. Okay. Daniel, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your love and many, many, many blessings in our life. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you. We boast about how awesome and wonderful and mighty you are. We lift you up, and we seek your mercy daily. We share your truth and love with the world around us. We don't hide you away as if something that we should be embarrassed about, but we gladly show the world the creator of the entire universe, the one who sent his son to die for us, Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk on this earth and to give you glory and honor, praise, and we thank you that you called us, that you allow us to respond and to be pleasing in this priesthood you have given us, that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and that we thank you for that. Help us to abide in our calling and do that which is pleasing in your sight, and give us strength, power, and energy to do it. And we love you. Bless our week ahead of us, and thank you for all you do. And we love you very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you feel so led of the Lord and want to know how to donate to this ministry outreach, please visit brotherlance.com and scroll down to the bottom of the main page for the PayPal link. Thank you, and may God's blessing rest upon you.
BrotherLance.com